Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, Are You Ready for a Battle? Based on our epistle lesson, Ephesians 6, these verses, Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In all circumstances, take on yourself the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I encourage you to open up your bulletins and find the sermon outline on the colored sheet as we consider our theme, Are You Ready for Battle? Over the years, being involved in sports of all kinds, I noticed the importance of a fight song. Whether it's a marching band on the field getting the team all pumped up and ready to go, or perhaps at halftime, or in the prehistoric ages when I was playing university baseball in the locker room, we would crank up our stereo as loud as we could to rock and roll songs from the 70s to get us ready to go out there and vanquish our enemies on the ball field. Did you know that Martin Luther wrote a fight song just the same? It can be considered the theme of the Reformation, the theme of our Lutheran church. We sang it just before the sermon. And will you join me in saying aloud the first two verses of hymn 657, our fight song. Again, hymn 657, we're going to read together the first two verses. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe with craft and dreadful might. He arms himself to fight. On earth he has no equal. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be. The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. This fight song, and by the way, keep your hymnal open. We're going to revisit it again. This fight song of Martin Luther is about a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that we're all facing. And if you think you're not in a battle, then the devil, your enemy, has won the battle almost halfway. We are in a spiritual battle. In the text from Ephesians 6, St. Paul compares this spiritual battle and the believer getting ready for this battle with a Roman soldier getting ready to go to battle, getting ready to go to war with his enemy. And today, make no mistake about it, today, this precious little boy, Caleb, by means of the waters of holy baptism, has become a soldier in this battle as well. Our mortal enemy that each of us face is the devil. And the text tells us that the devil uses fiery darts against us. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. In ancient combat, these flaming darts or fiery arrows were used as a preface to hand-to-hand fighting. Listen to Psalm 91, verse 5, a reference to these flaming arrows. The psalmist writes, "You will not fear the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day." Years ago, there was a glorious movie named Braveheart. In this movie, there's a scene in which the English archers are all lined up with arrows tipped with pitch, lit on fire, and flinging them on an arc against the Scots who they're fighting. And what was the purpose of these flaming arrows, these fiery darts? It was to soften up their enemy, to wound them, to discourage them before the main battle began. St. Paul tells us the devil also has flaming darts. These are his lies, and these are his temptations that he continues to fire upon us today. Just a side note, we're going to be talking about this at the end of the service. This wasn't even planned as a part of the sermon. But this past week, sadly, another of our Lutheran synods, not Lutheran Church Canada, but another of the Lutheran synods has now, in convention, agreed to ordain homosexual women and men as pastors of their church body. It's a sad day for Christendom. This is an example of one of the lies and temptations of the devil that he's shooting at people today in and out of the church. The scripture makes it clear. The devil shoots these fiery darts, temptations in your life, lies in your life, to wound you and to soften you up, so that when the real war for your soul begins, you are wounded, you are weakened, you are resistant to his attack. But the good news of the Holy Scripture is this: God provides his children with a shield. This, the scripture calls, the shield of faith, and God himself is our shield. Listen to verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What's the purpose of a shield in combat? Well, of course, it's protection against attack. What is the purpose of our shield of faith in our spiritual life? The same thing. And the wonderful news is this: God in his love for you and God in his love for me has given us shield bearers for our protection and for our help that we might stand. Now, what's the purpose of a shield bearer in battle? Hearken back to Braveheart and the flaming arrows. When the arrows were coming against the Scotsmen, the shield bearers took the front line and with their tall shields stood up with their shields to protect the rest of their brethren, to protect them against the attacks of the enemy. And what's the purpose of spiritual shield bearers today? The same thing. God has placed into all of our lives spiritual shield bearers to help us stand, to protect us against attacks, the lies, and the temptations of the evil one. Permit me in a personal way to introduce to you some of the spiritual shield bearers in my life. The first spiritual shield bearer I had was a woman about 4'10" and 85 pounds named Mrs. Miller. Mrs. Miller was my grade 7 Sunday school teacher. Mrs. Miller, for the first time in my life, introduced me to my Savior, Jesus. Another spiritual shield bearer was my boyhood pastor, Pastor David Balesi from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Spokane, Washington. Another spiritual shield bearer was my church youth group sponsor, Mr. Dick Brumfield. And then there was my seminary classmate, the Reverend Carl Blease. And now, a spiritual shield bearer is my precious wife, Beverly. Another spiritual shield bearer for me would be the 6 elders, the board of elders in this congregation. What do they do for me? They help me stand. They lift up my weak arms. They pray for me. They stand between me and the lies and the temptations and the discouragements of the devil. My friend, who is your spiritual shield bearer? For whom could you be a spiritual shield bearer? Oh, the importance of the Christian church. Oh, the importance of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Caleb was not baptized into thin air this morning. He was baptized into a family. He has inherited by the waters of baptism an army of spiritual shield bearers to stand with you, Ben, and you, Allison, and Joshie, and Luke, and Caleb as well, to stand with you and for you. We are your family. We are Caleb's spiritual shield bearers. Also, to prepare us for spiritual battle, Paul says in Ephesians 6, God has given each of us a custom-fitted helmet. It is the helmet of salvation, the text. And take up the helmet of salvation. In the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, God himself is described as going to war on behalf of his people. Listen to Isaiah 59, 17. God put a helmet of salvation on his head and marched to battle for his people. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, listen to these words about the helmet of salvation. For by grace you have been saved. It is a gift of God. Just as the helmet was the single most important piece of armor for the Roman soldier going into war, salvation, the helmet of salvation, is the single most important gift God has given you today. And make no mistake about it, today Caleb received the helmet of salvation. But the truth is this. The devil tries. Oh, he tries in your life and mine, and he will try in Caleb's life, but he cannot take this helmet of salvation from us. Listen to 2 Peter. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. In our day and age today, with the example I just gave you, people and some church bodies are being devoured by the lies of the devil. Why? Because they have gotten away from God's holy word, which does not lie to us. God's word is the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. When we get out from under the means God provides us and leave them aside, we are open to the lies and temptations, the flaming arrows of the liar. Now I see sitting in our congregation today a guy whose name I can't mention, but his initials are Gary Brucker. Nice to see you, Gary, to have you here. I'm reminded as I see Gary out there, who's been involved in Lutheran Church Canada youth ministry and singing with the crew for many, many years, since probably when you and I both had hair. But a famous song in Lutheran Church Canada youth gatherings is this. The lions may eat my body, but they cannot swallow my soul. What is that song about? For first century Christians who stood up in the name of Jesus to the lies and temptations of the devil and the wicked society and the godless government around them, they could sing this song. Those lions in that Roman Colosseum, they may eat my body, but they can never swallow my soul. Today, no one, nothing, not even the devil himself, can take away the gift of salvation, the helmet of salvation that God has given to you in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the promise for Caleb Mahon today. And it is a promise for all of God's children baptized into the name of Christ. There's an ancient tradition by the old Orthodox Church that I almost wish we could adopt. But if we adopted it, we'd have to put some plastic around the baptismal font. To publicly and liturgically demonstrate that the devil has no power or no hold on that child. When the child is baptized, the pastor, the parents turn their head and spit on the floor of the church building, spitting in the face of the devil himself, saying, "You shall have no charge over this child." I think our custodian and altar guild would have my neck if we started doing that. But you get the picture. God also provides for us a short sword for the battle. But be careful. This short sword that God gives us for the spiritual battle is very sharp. Listen to the text. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword spoken of in this text, the Greek word for this sword, is a short sword about this big, used for hand-to-hand combat. In ancient warfare, After the flaming darts were shot and the enemy was softened up, then the troops ran together for one-on-one fighting with their short swords. This was seen in the movie Braveheart. The English shot their flaming arrows. The shield bearers took as many of the arrows as they could, and then the troops marched together and fought hand to hand with the short swords, one man alone against his enemy. This short sword that God provides for our one-on-one fighting with our enemy is a very sharp sword indeed. Listen again to the text. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is not something just to be proclaimed on Sunday morning and to lay aside the rest of the week. God's Word is to be placed into our hearts so that we have it for our one-to-one battle with our enemy, the devil. God gives us this short sword in the sermon. He gives us this short sword in the Bible class. He gives us the same sword in our private devotions. Because, my dear friends, there will not always be a shield bearer next to your side. Some days you will have to face the onslaught of the liar all by yourself. And that's why, without any apology, this pastor keeps encouraging you, inviting you, welcoming you to be in Bible study, to be in one of our many Bible classes, so God can equip you personally. Because when you're on your own and you're at your weakest and those flaming darts have softened you up, that's when the liar will come and attack you. We need to be a people immersed in God's Word, His short sword. But please note that this spiritual battle and the victory does not depend on you, does not depend upon me. The victory belongs to our Lord. Listen to the text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Did you hear it? Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, the armor of God. The victory belongs to our Lord, not to us. Look how Luther put it in verse 2 of our hymn. Look at verse 2. I'll read it aloud to you. No strength of ours can match His might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God Himself elected. You ask who this may be. The Lord of hosts is He, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. Do you see God's champion? Look. There is the champion who's come to fight. There is the champion of God who let sinful men nail His hands and feet to the cross. There is God's champion who met face to face with the powers of sin, the powers of death, the powers of the devil, and make no mistake about it, on that cross, on that battlefield, He reigned victorious. And He won the battle for you. And He won the battle for me. And He won the battle for Caleb today. And here's wonderful news in case you missed it. The Roman soldier in Paul's day of warfare had his weapons and his armor fully supplied to him by his commanding officer. Just imagine it. The Roman army was made of men from every walks of life, farmers and merchants and laborers. And when they came to be inducted into the service, it was their commander who provided them with their armor. Their commander who provided them with their helmet, their breastplate, and their sword. They didn't provide it from themselves. They only received the provisions the commander provided. And it's also true for us. God gives His holy children, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, He gives us the shield of faith. He gives us the helmet of salvation. He puts in our hands the sword of His Word. so we can stand victorious in the battle. Our only task is to depend upon our commander and the means of grace he gives us with which we can fight the battle. In conclusion, we go back to the fight song, back to your hymnals, back to our fight song, hymn 657. Would you read with me just verses 3 and 4? Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle will engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. My friends, we are in a battle. But Almighty God, our commander, stands with us, and he has provided for us all that we need to fight. In Jesus Christ, our champion, we are victorious. Thanks be to God through the champion, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.